Proverbs 3, 6 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, which means reverence Him, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And the other scripture parallel for this, for our preaching, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Powerful words. God is faithful. Our word has been yes, not yes and no. It was not yes and no, but in Him, it is always yes. For the promises of God find their yes in Him. For the promises of God find their yes in Him. Let us pray together. As John Calvin prayed before every sermon, O Lord God, I give you my heart honestly and sincerely in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you looked in your bulletin, you noticed that there is a formula there. I asked a couple of gentlemen before the service if they could translate it, and they missed it, but they were good. I may use their translation the next time I preach it. It is T equals P plus P. T equals P plus P. I want to give this sermon in memory of a very special lady. Her name was Amy Carmichael. You may have read about her. She was raised a Presbyterian and then elevated to an Episcopalian. She spent almost all of her life as a single woman in India. She died in 1951 at the age of 83. The last 20 years of her life she spent severely crippled from a fall she had, but she continued to write and has become one of the greatest Christians I will meet in heaven. And so I want to begin the sermon with this brief quote. Amy said this, "Trust is a settled confidence in the person of Jesus Christ." Trust is a settled confidence in the person of Jesus Christ and His faithfulness to each one of His promises. That is a quotation you ought to memorize and keep with you to eternity. There's a great difference between believing and trusting. So let's just do a little biblical exegesis. To say, I believe, means I confess. As we confess this morning in the Apostles' Creed, in the Nicene Creed, in the Athanasian Creed, and indeed the earliest creed of the Church was this, Jesus Christos Kyrios, Jesus Christ is Lord. And when one confessed that by believing, one became a Christian. The word belief means an academic, cerebral, conscious assent to a specific truth. And as Bob intimated this morning, and Bob, you ought to be a preacher. I noticed your notes that you wrote out those prayers. Where did you go to? Are you in the nursery too? No, you're here. That was marvelous. Really good. A credo is the Latin for meaning I believe. And so when we say I believe, we are confessing with our minds that these truths, these doctrines, are the very things that keep us focused in the Christian faith. Now, that may seem almost naive, but in reality, in the church today, and as you know, in the denomination that I left and you left, the creeds of the church have been totally decimated. The divinity of Christ is now in full question. The authority of Scripture, so on and so forth. And the tragedy of that is they have taken the belief system, as most other denominations, one exception, the Assemblies of God, however, and they have reduced the creeds to nothingness, so that you can believe almost anything as long as you're friendly to one another and you pay your tithes and offerings. That's what believing means, credo. But I want to concentrate this morning in a teaching, hopefully a preaching, of what the word trust means. There is a significant difference between believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is absolutely mandatory for salvation, and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me explain that to you. The word trust, coming out of the Greek and through the Latin, means to be utterly dependent upon someone else for your very existence. And so to say, I trust Jesus Christ, or I trust the Blessed Trinity, means that I am taking what Soren Kierkegaard called the leap of faith. I am willing to step out and say, I abandon myself to you. I totally, absolutely, without reservation, give my life over to you. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And so when I talk about trusting, it means, as Fenelon said, letting go and letting God. I believe that is the most difficult thing to do in the Christian faith. It's not hard by the power and the intercession of the Holy Spirit to say that Jesus Christ is Lord, which you can only say by the power of the Holy Spirit within you. But when God says, will you say this, I trust in you, are you willing as a Christian, regardless of age, to totally, as Andrew Murray would say, abandon yourself. Let go of who you think you are. To let go of whatever those things are or those persons are that you are basing your identity upon. That's the most important question I could ever ask myself. Where do I find my identity? Where do I find my raison d'etre, my reason for being, when everything is taken away and the world is red in tooth and claw, as Nietzsche said? When everything is decimated around me, and look at what's happening now in the world, when all those props, when all of those anchors, of all those stabilities are taken away, where do I turn? God is my rock and my fortress and my strength. And so the word I want to open up this morning in trust is, who do you trust ultimately? Who do I trust ultimately? I've been in the ministry for 55 years, and I've seen so many lives that have crumbled. And I've witnessed to many, many suicides of people who place their confidence, please listen to me, most of us in here are getting on in age, except for you two, I see you. Most of us are getting on to age, and as we grow more and more, may God give us the grace and the Holy Spirit to segregate ourselves off, to separate ourselves from anyone or anything that keeps us from loving God with all of our soul, our mind, our heart, and our spirit. As Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee. And so I challenge you this morning, if your identity is in your husband, your wife, your dog, your cat, where's Ben? I urge you to think about that, because in the end, when the day is over and the shadows come upon us, the real question is, who really counts? And so now we've got the word frame, trust in the Lord. It seems to me when somebody says trust, the first question that comes to my mind is, trust what? Trust who? Where are you asking me to abandon my life? To whom? To what? It's amazing that in the Old Testament, 17 times God names Himself. 17 times. Throughout the Old Testament, on those occasions, God says to His people, let me tell you something. This is who I am. You do not instruct me. You do not inform me. I inform you. Now, the wonderful thing about that is that when God says, I am who I am to Moses, when God uses His name and gives it to us, two things are going on here. Please listen. The first is that in that name, His character is defined. That's the first P. His person is defined. As Amy said, the person of God. That means that in the person of God, He has committed Himself to whatever name He has given, that in Him is embodied the very essence of who He is. So He's not just saying, I am so and so, I am like that, or I am similar to that. This is so important in our lives. On two occasions in my life, I almost committed suicide. And these are the words that came to me many, many years ago. If I will come to terms with the character of God, the person of God, I am on solid ground. And so when God makes these names known to us, He's saying, this is who I am. And you need to make a decision whether you will trust me in telling you who I am or you will not. And based upon that, as a psychologist, is your sanity or your insanity, your integration or your disintegration. 17 times. El Shalom, I am your peace. Jehovah Jireh, I am your provider. And on it goes. Elohim, He said in Deuteronomy, I am the Lord God Almighty. And so if you look up those words, you will find the definition of His character is solidified for you and me if we will accept it. Now, the second thing about His person is that with His person, He brings the full authority and power of who He is. This is not Mohammed. This is not Allah. This is the God of gods. And so when He says, I am your peace, I am your provider, I am your righteousness, He's saying, with that name, I bring to you, please stay with me, in the person of the Holy Spirit, I implant in you my authority and my power, which is yours to use in proclaiming who I am. Does anyone not understand that? That saved my life decades ago. When I say God is my shalom, shalom, peace, I am saying that His character, by the power of the Holy Spirit, invests in me the authority and the power to receive it, to believe it, and to live it out. There are so many Christians who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they know when they die they'll go to heaven, and that's good. But how few Christians really understand that when they say that Jesus is Kyrios, Lord, with that my whole being is marinated with that power and authority, which I call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, wherein God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. If God is my righteousness, He is. If God is my peace, He is. If God is my provider, He is. If God is all of those 17 names, I believe it, and I will not allow Satan to steal it from me, even if I live in a world that is red in tooth and claw. Now, could some Pentecostal Presbyterian say amen? Wow, we're in good shape, huh? You guess I can go another hour? Why are you going like this and like this? The second part of this is the person of Jesus Christ and now the promises of Jesus Christ. You ought to put this in your skull, memorize it. Trust is an absolute surrender to the person, the authority, and the power of Jesus Christ in my life. He is who He says He is, and He says who He truly is. Now, hang on for another few minutes. The second part is an absolute trust in the promises of God. I love the hymn we sang this morning. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages men and angels sing. Standing on the promises of God. I was listening to you sing, and you sang well, but if we could close this service and sing it again, I would hope you'd be standing on the pews, well, not really, but that you'd sing it with every ounce of strength you have. In 1 Corinthians, it says this. I read it. Every single promise of God is yes and amen. Amen means so be it. So every promise that you read when you pick up the Word of God, by the way, not necessarily reading it to study it, to exegete it, to teach it, but it's only been in recent years that I've learned, because preachers are always doing those two things, to just read the Word of God, and I love the word marinate, saturate it. And when you do that without trying to dissect it, but let the Holy Spirit talk to you, the promises of God come alive on almost every single page of the Bible. So every promise, believe it or not, that you read in the Scripture, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking. In the context of His sovereignty, ask anything in my name and I will do it. The Scriptures are absolutely pregnant with the promises. If He is the God He says He is, then every one of those promises is true for your life. Now, I'm sure the devil's walking around right now, and he's saying, what are you talking about? I have prayed and prayed and prayed for healing. I have prayed and prayed and prayed for a job. I have prayed and prayed and prayed for my marriage to be salvaged, etc., etc., etc. How God answers, and this may sound like a cover-up, is not my problem. Many things in my life I have asked for and have been denied. This is not a prosperity gospel we believe. This is not a name it and claim it gospel where we believe the atrocious lie that we have the right, because we're children of God, to tell God what to do, and we snap our fingers and He will do it. If you've read any of those books, If you have been influenced by any of that, we have met with so many people whose faith has been destroyed. Name it, claim it, and frame it. If you've been associated with that, you need a deliverance in your head. God will do what He will do. He is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. And He is omniscient. And He will not allow any human being, preacher, priest, or layman, to play around with His will. But I know, and if I ever get invited back, I'll preach a sermon on that. That's an invitation, by the way, Bob. Did you write that down? Okay. And so here is the capsulation of the whole sermon. I trust You with my life because You say You are who You are. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain I bear. All because I will not trust Him and take it to Him in prayer. And then He says, ask anything in My name based on My promises and I will do it. When I first graduated from Princeton, I did not believe much of what I'm telling you this morning. It's taken decades to soften up this crazy little Irishman. And I used to go to pray for people in my first church in New Jersey, and I'd pray that they'd be healed. But in the back of my mind, I'd say, nothing's going to happen. This is just verbiage. But then several years into my ministry, I received what I call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My marriage was on the rocks. My ministry was about to disintegrate. And I was seriously considering taking my life. And when I encountered Jesus on the beach in Cape Cod, the one thing out of that encounter, not only did I know that He loved me because He said it, but I knew that every one of His promises was true for me. And He sovereignly, believe me, sovereignly healed my marriage. And now we have a wonderful marriage as long as my wife is in submission to me. And so I leave you not with that thought, but with another thought. Believe, but trust. God is never too early. He's never too late. He's always on time. And in the meantime, regardless of the circumstances, believe and know. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord God, we are so blessed to be here this morning. We are so blessed to be able to gather and hear Your Word, trusting indeed that it is empowered by Your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that You will take this Word and that You will renew it in my heart and perhaps for the first time seat it in a heart or two that's here this morning. And now we raise our prayer, O Lord, of intercession and petition. We have sat in silence. We have confessed our sins. We have received pardon. Our sins have been cast into the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. They are as far as the east is from the west, never to be resurrected. As Corrie Ten Boom would say, there's a sign out there that says no fishing allowed. And so now we just take a few moments to do the work of intercession. We certainly pray this morning for our nation, which, Lord, is descending into hell. Lord, so many of us believe that maybe the candlestick has been taken away, that we have done so many things that violate Your commandments. But we continue to pray wearily at some times for renewal. We pray for your church, O God. We cry out that every church this morning that believes in your word, that stands in your word, that professes your creeds, and that preaches a personal relationship of trust with Jesus Christ will grow and be strengthened. Lord, how many ministers are tired and weary? We pray for their renewal and their revival and for our own denomination. We pray this morning for Pastor Saeed as he languishes in that prison, beaten, chained, persecuted, all because he just wanted to build an orphanage for these little children. Lord, we will not cease to cry out until he is released, and as we receive word of the increased persecution on him, we pray for his family, his wife, his children, that your mercy, your grace would be upon all of them. We pray for our men and women in the military. Lord, sometimes I think my prayers are like a grain of sand. They just are so seemingly innocuous, and then you tell me to pray, so we pray. We pray for those who are in the VA hospitals, who are at home, that carry the brutal, brutal wounds of war. Only your Holy Spirit can minister Christ to them, Father. We pray for them. We now narrow down our prayers for our loved ones, our extended families. Lord, only you know all of the troubles, or perhaps the non-troubles right now. But how we cry out for the peace which passes all human understanding, that they may know that you are the solution, you are the one and the only one. For those in our families who are carrying disease, God, it seems like cancer is a tsunami. We pray for them. We plead for them. We stand on the word of Jesus. I am your healer, and by my stripes you have been healed. Give us trust. And finally, Lord, we pray for our own lives. We petition you to cover us, to keep us safe, to irresistibly draw us nearer and nearer to you. And as Bob prayed this morning, that our lives would be more and more surrendered. Not religious, not legalistic, not denominational, but Lord, basing our existence in the creed of the church, you are Lord, and basing our lives in trusting you and your promises. For those of us sitting here this morning who need to be touched, you said you're the healer. We ask for a divine touch. For those whose bodies, the outer man wastes away, the inner man is renewed daily, heal us and comfort us. For our minds, heal us and comfort us. And for our spirits, quicken them, baptize them in Holy Ghost power, to stay in close communion with you. And with that prayer, we pray the prayer you had taught your apostles. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.